worship our God this morning. The week before Thanksgiving, and we have a lot to be thankful for. Amen.
In this season of Thanksgiving, we're going to have a lot to be thankful for, but I don't know about you, but I'm not thankful for anything as much as I'm thankful for Jesus. Where would we be without Him? Amen? Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I want to go to the Lord in prayer, and I know Pastor will probably do some prayer later, but we just want to lift up those that are sick right now, that the Lord would touch their bodies. Amen. I got a text a second ago that a couple of our young people have been confirmed positive with the COVID, and so we just want to pray for that. But let's go to the Lord in prayer for service this morning. Lord, we thank you so much. Lord, no matter what we face, whether it be sickness, whether it be trial, whether it be tribulation, Lord, whether it be finances, whether it be sick, whether it be a sickness in our family, whether it be death, no matter what we face, Lord, you're the only one who can help us to overcome those things. As the song says, Lord, you turn mourning into dancing. Lord, we thank you today in this season of thanksgiving and in thankfulness. We give all the glory and honor to you, and we are more than thankful. Above everything else, we're thankful for you and what you have done for us. For without you, there would be no salvation. For without you, there would be no healing. For without you, Lord, there would be no hope. And so, Lord, we welcome you into this place today, that you would bring healing, that you would bring salvation, and that you would bring hope. Lord, may not one person who's coming to this place leave the same as they came. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. You can be seated in the house of the Lord for just a few moments. Thank you for being here. If you're a guest this morning, you're going to see a card in the seat back in front of you. It says, we're glad you're here. And we'd love for you to fill that out. Give us a record of your attendance. Just tells us that you've come to visit with us. And that would be helpful for us to know. And so if you'll fill that out real quick and just put it in the offering bag as it passes in just a little bit, that will really, really be helpful. And we want to say welcome. Not just welcome to guests. Welcome to all of you who are here every week. Welcome, Wisemans. How are you doing over there? Welcome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, I've got a few announcements for you this morning, and want to emphasize that that tonight is Connect Groups, and Pastor's Connect Group is meeting right here at the church, and they're going to have Mexican food. He told me that this morning. And I don't know about you. When somebody tells me they have a Mexican food, I feel the Holy Spirit. So how many of you love Mexican food? Come on. Come on. Come on. Somebody said to me one time, they said, you know, we had Mexican yesterday. And I said, what does that have to do with anything? We can have it again today, right? So there ain't nothing like Mexican leftovers. But anyway, all right. I need some chips and queso right now. All right. Thank you. But pastors meet, Connect Group will meet here. They're going to have Mexican. We're going to be at our house having finger foods, which doesn't seem as cool as Mexican. But and we're gonna be playing some Pictionary and have some fun. And so as we enter into this week of Thanksgiving and families getting together and very limited people, groups. How many of you are having people come over your house? Come on. Okay, that was online, so everybody knows now, all right? In this week of Thanksgiving, let me just say this. Let's start off with a great Connect Group time and getting together with friends, and we'd love for you to be a part. The kids will be here tonight, and so you can look out on the table and see all the groups that are happening and what's going on there. And then this Wednesday, we will not have services. It's the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. We want you to hang out with your family. Most of you, if you're like me on Wednesday, that's the day you realize you forgot to put the turkey out and to thaw. And so you're doing that quick thaw. You know what I'm talking about, Mark? The one where you're not supposed to. Online, it says, if you forgot, this is not what you should be doing. But just continue to put it in lukewarm water. And then you, when it gets cold, you do it. You've been there, Mark. I know you have. Yes. And and so let me just suggest, maybe don't do that. Just call Cracker Barrel and get one of their meals. And they're really good. I've done that before. And so, but anyway, we will not have Wednesday service. So be prepared for your family. And I hope you have a wonderful time getting together with all of them. And then on the 29th, which is our last Sunday evening of this month, we're going to get together and decorate the church for Christmas. So that as we, that's, yes, it's the fifth Sunday. Oh, at 5 o'clock. I'm sorry. It is also the fifth Sunday, though. This isn't the first time I've had a hard time figuring out what Pastor's saying. So it's the fifth Sunday at 5 o'clock. We're going to be here. We're going to decorate so that we enter into December with all the Christmas decorations and the church looking great. And we want you to be a part of that. And then last but not least, we'd love for you to be a part of our Christmas outreach. Every year we partner with the Inner City Church, Pastor Deborah Burke, in what her event that's called Christmas in the Hood. And there are three ways you can be a part of this. Number one is you can sign up to make a shoebox for a young person. Age 0 through 15, we have them broke up in age groups, boy or girl, and create a gift for kids that may otherwise not have a Christmas. You can also sign up to be a part of that day. And our main responsibility, if I haven't made this clear, the main responsibility that day for our church is we serve the food, all right? So we make nachos and hot dogs and french fries. And so this year we're going to be putting them in to-go containers, but we're still going to be making food for every person that comes through. And so we'd love for you to sign up and help us with that. And then last but not least, if you're not able to do either one of those two things, there's still an opportunity to just give financially to help us to pay for all the supplies and help us to buy extra gifts to make extra shoeboxes. So you can participate in any of those ways. If you want to give towards this, if you'll put CITH, which stands for Christmas in the Hood, on your envelope, that way we'll know that that's what the money is intended for, and that will be helpful. We ask the ushers to come as we give of the tithe and offering this morning. Amen. 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 Want to remind you, we'll be receiving an offering later for the Perkies, but right now we're going to take our regular tithe and offering. And how many are just glad to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. It's just good. It just feels good. And it feels nice and warm in here. I don't know if you know this, but the temperature's dropping outside. But it's nice and warm in here. So, Lord, we thank you so much for all you blessed us with. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to just give unto the kingdom. Lord, whether it be in our tithe, whether it be in an offering, Lord, whether it be towards the outreach today. Lord, we know you're going to take everything that's given, you're going to multiply it, you're going to bless it, and it's going to further the gospel. And for that, we give you all the honor and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Worship.
There is no shadow. Faithful.
too hard. Show me waters you can't part. He's the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible. Is possible. All of my fear I will turn into praise. I'll shake off despair as I sing out your name. All of my fear I will turn into praise. I'll shake off despair as I sing out your name. A victory dance I will dance out in faith. I will crush disappointment. Oh, show me one thing he can't do. Show me a mountain he can't move. He's the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible. Show me one thing that's too hard. Show me waters he can't part. He's the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible. It's possible. Show me one thing he can't do. Show me a mountain he can't move. He's the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible. Show me one thing that's too hard. Show me waters you can't part. He's the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible. Is possible.
Anything is possible. Thank you, Jesus. As I was preparing this morning and kind of singing through my songs and praying this morning, the Lord reminded me. The Lord reminded me of when Lily was so sick. They took her into the NICU that morning. And she was so sick. There was such a dire situation. It felt like there was no hope. And that morning, the protocol for the NICU was that you could have two people in a room at a time. And she was so sick that they broke that protocol. And you know that a situation is really bad when they break their own rules for you. And our whole pastoral staff came in that morning. I think there was six or seven of us in there at one time. And there's only supposed to be two. And we stood around her bed and we joined hands and we prayed. And I'm so thankful that God hears our prayers, because if he hadn't, I'd have lost my daughter. God is so good. And he just reminded me of that this morning. As we sing this song, let's just think about his goodness and just be so thankful. I know it feels like we're in a dire situation right now with the COVID and all the political unrest, but God has it in his hands, and he is taking care of us, and it doesn't matter what we face. He hears our prayers, just like he heard us, the seven of us in that room that morning. And I'm so thankful that we can call on him. Jesus, we just worship you, God. We're so worthy. You're so worthy of our praise, Jesus. God, we just pour it all out to you this morning, God. We love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. You
are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so
give you all the thanks and all the praise, Jesus, that we can give you. I worship your name, Jesus. I praise you, Lord. Jesus. Yeah.
Hallelujah. Let's just give him praise. Lift up our voices. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we give you praise today in this place. Oh, it's your breath in our lungs, Lord. We give you praise. We magnify and glorify and honor and praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we join together today as the body of Christ. Church family, we just pray, Lord, that you would comfort the Joe Adams family as Joe was taken from us this last week. We pray that you would just comfort Kim and their children, Lord, and bless their son Jacob, who's still recovering from the virus. Just heal his body, we pray. Lord, comfort the Broadbooks family again as we laid Steve to rest today, but we know that he is with you. We pray for Helen and for their children and grandchildren. Just be with them right now. Father, we lift up Daryl Kastner, who's still fighting the virus. It's also Mark Fitzgerald. We just pray for healing for these men. Lord, we lift up Royce and Shirley Hodges, Rendy's brother and sister-in-law. We pray that you would just touch them, Lord, today. As Shirley's in the hospital, just heal her body of pneumonia and of the virus. Heal Royce, we pray. Lord, we lift up Ruth Munden, who's in the hospital today. Touch her. We lift up Bill Burrows, who has pneumonia. We just pray for him and Mary today, both to be well. Also, Al Loibel, who's in the hospital. Touch Al today. And Father, we pray for a young man named TJ, who was in a severe accident, who the doctors say that if he lives, he'll be a vegetable. Lord, we just pray that you touch and reverse the prognosis today. Lord, there, as we've sung today, there's nothing impossible. So, Lord, we pray for TJ today that you would touch him, heal him, bring life to his body, even at the amazement of the doctors. Father God, just have your way in all of these needs and others, Lord, that we have not mentioned, but you know the need. We ask you to touch them. Lord, and we just give you praise. We continue to lift up our country. We continue to lift up our president. And all that's happening, we pray that righteousness and truth prevail. Lord, we thank you, God, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. Praise God. So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord today, and many who are watching by live stream. We say welcome to you. We are delighted today to have Mark Perkey with us. Mark and Susie Perkey have been friends of ours and friends of this church body now for several years, and they have ministered faithfully here about every year, I think for a dozen or 13 years, he was telling me. Every year we talk about having a little Perkey before your turkey. And so we are once again glad to have Mark and Susie. They're evangelists, missionary evangelists. They do a lot of missions trips around the world. And just a wonderful, wonderful ministry, a wonderful friend. We're exactly the same age, so there's a lot of good things happened in 1961. There sure was. And so anyway, Mark, come and be blessed today. Thank you, Lord.
Well, I love Steve and Carol Lance. I'll tell you what, wonderful friends of ours for all of these years, and so thankful for their friendship and leadership as our presbyters of the. This is my home section as well, so pastor's like one of my pastors as well, and I'm so thankful for that. I love your folks, Pastor Steve, your mom and dad. Your mom sent me a personal note about today, and always so kind to think of us. We spent a lot of revivals with your parents in Enid for about 10 to 12 years there, a span that we were there a lot. So anyway, so good to see everybody. Some of you are sitting in the same spot you were last year. And when I look for you, there you are. You didn't move. And so thank you for being faithful to your spot, and such a joy to be with you. My wife sends her love. Thank you for praying for our family. We have one living parent left between us, and that's my wife's mother. 6 months ago, the doctors gave her 6 months, and we're in the sixth month. And every day, every week is kind of touch and go. And if you've ever been through this situation where she is on full hospice care with nurses coming in 3 days a week, and an aide also coming in 3 days a week to assist. So I was telling Pastor Steve, the weekends have been kind of postponed for my wife in travels, as there's no one with her mother on the weekends. And she got to travel with me a couple of weeks ago because her sister from Florida was here for the week and the weekend. And then now everybody's kind of gone and back to normal, and it rests on her. So thank you for praying for us. The Lord will just give us grace through these holiday seasons. And we just don't know what each day holds, but God knows. Amen. Anybody ever been through that before with a parent or a loved one, you know, or even a spouse or even a child? So you all know exactly what we are experiencing. So thank you for your prayers. I also want to just thank the Lord for such faithfulness. You know, when the height of COVID started for us in our ministry, which I would say was mid-March, we were off and all of our schedule was canceled between mid-March and mid-June. It was a total of 13 weeks with no travel, no income. But you know what? We didn't miss a bill. We kept tithing with no income. Figure that one. We kept all of our missions monthly support up to date and didn't have to postpone, make arrangements. Here's what I've learned. If you're a giver and not a taker, you can be assured that somehow God will take care of his children. Is that not the truth? We are just a living proof that God is faithful to his word, because it doesn't figure out on paper. And so I'm so thankful. And also we had to postpone 4 overseas crusades. To date, we have completed 86 overseas crusades. My goal, should the Lord tarry, is 100 crusades. We have planted 67 churches abroad. My goal is 100 churches. And so I told the Lord in prayer the other day, with the way things are looking in the world today, and your coming is so imminent, that we better get on with this pretty quickly if we're going to reach these goals. Of course, if the Lord comes, we don't worry about goals. But I'm a goal-oriented person. I've always got something ahead that I'm reaching for and working towards. So thank you for praying for us. And your love offering at the end of the service for our ministry is so needed and helpful, because we will reschedule crusades in England, Norway, Brazil, and Italy. Those are the four that we had to postpone because some of the countries I just mentioned were just decimated by the COVID virus. But here's the good news. Once travel restrictions lift and things open back up for us to go overseas as we always have, the missionaries and pastors I've worked with for over 30 years have told me there will be more people at these crusades than you ever saw before because physically the healing and the miracles that are needed, not just physically but emotionally, help me somebody, during this situation. I remember I was having our missionaries and pastors from about 22 different countries, knowing that we could not get to them in person as usual. They were emailing me saying, could you preach a message and email it to us so we could show it to our people, our churches, our constituents. And so I went to my home church in Mustang, and thankfully they have a nice little studio suite where I could just go in and record and preach messages and then email those all around the world. So I might have been sitting home, but I was actually preaching in 22 different countries during the times of COVID here and kind of a shutdown period. So the Lord's so good, isn't he? I'm just rattling on. This may not interest you in the least, but you all have been a part of our ministry for 13 consecutive years. And so I just always want to bring you a brief update to let you know that your prayers and your support have been so very much a blessing to us. We will put together all resources and pay for every one of those next four crusades. I have budgeted $38,000 for the next four crusades. We pay for everything. Our missionaries love seeing Mark and Susie come. Because when we land, they know we've paid for the flights, we're paying for the lodging, we're paying for all meals, we're paying for the crusade costs. We're going to bless their family, we're going to bless their children, we're going to take out their staff and pour into them. They just know when we come, they have no responsibility in the least. But isn't that nice that you can still do that from the greatest sending country for the gospel in the known world, and that is still the United States of America. With all of our trouble and situations that we're facing, we're still sending the gospel out in a way, and I feel like our best days are just ahead. Waiting for the amens to die down for that great response. I feel like our best days are just ahead. Amen. Let's go in our Bibles together to the book of Daniel. I want to speak to you for a few moments on this subject, survive or thrive. I believe that is the choice that we must make. We will do one or the other in this season. When I had those 13 weeks off, I had never experienced anything like that. And for someone that's preaching a lot, traveling all the time, that was really a strange fit for me. But I started thinking back, and I was missing my dad. I preached his funeral about 8 years ago. And I was missing my father, and I just remember as a little boy, if you ever had any trouble, you just kind of nuzzled under the big arm of your dad, you know, and he made everything just kind of go away, all your troubles. So I thought, I've got a heavenly father, and I'm going to take these weeks, however many it ends up being out of pocket, I'm going to nuzzle up under the arm of my heavenly father, and I'm going to get really close. I'm going to take advantage of time off that you normally would never get any other way. I'm going to take advantage of this opportunity, and so I did. I began to turn my little, what we call a man cave, I began to turn that into a place of music, a place of worship. Every Sunday morning, I came down and I had prepared a sermon for my wife and daughter. I said, I'm not preaching anywhere, but I'm preaching down here in the living room. And so we would sit around in the living room with our Bibles open, and I would break the bread the Lord had given me, and I had give a little message to my family. Then I would serve them communion. It was just an incredible time that we chose to make it such. And now here we are just a few days from one of our special holidays, our Thanksgiving. You know, it's a time to have an attitude of gratitude. The attitude of gratitude is the emotional position, the intellectual posture that you take toward the circumstances of your environment. Simply put, you just must give him thanks and give him praise. And I'm working at that because I have noticed that just the natural thing to do is to be negative. The natural thing to do of the human being is just to pour out negativity, comparing things the way they used to be or whatever. And I have learned that this attitude of gratitude is a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week posture that we must choose to take. And if we will, our outcome sure is different than it would be normally. In Daniel chapter 10, I want to just read the first verse because I'm going to be preaching this whole chapter of Daniel, and I'll refer to it. And if you want to see the verses, if you keep your Bible open or whatever you're using for your scripture, you can see where I'm going. But just for the sake of time, and let me use verse 1, and let me encourage you, Christian, to read the book of Daniel right now. There's nothing more parallel than what we're facing right now at this moment in our world. The book of Daniel lines it all up for us. It is a book I would recommend that you devour right now and read it and study it, and you will be amazed at the parallel of our times. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. The message was true, but the appointed time was long. Father, thank you for your word. Speak to us in the next few moments, and we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. I want to talk to you about how to just survive or how to really thrive during this season, because it has been one of pandemic and protests, riots, political upheaval, and economic uncertainty. The immediate fear may have subsided, but many now live with troubling uncertainty. Some struggle with isolation. These are people that I know personally, people that I reach out to and that I'm working with and ministering to. Some are struggling with isolation, others with health. Some, like our dear friend Mark Fitzgerald, is in the fight for his life. And there just doesn't seem to be the upturn, the getting over the line to start that process of getting toward a finish line. It's just been a difficult, difficult thing for months. Some are fighting these kinds of battles with health. Others with loss of work, keeping their families afloat and supplied. Amid all of this, they still don't know what next week will bring, or maybe even what the long-term future will be like. One thing we know is that this troubling season will not be short-lived. Its effects will continue for a while, I mean, if we're just honest. But what does this tell us as people of faith? The prophet Daniel saw the nation of Israel in a similar situation that we are presently in. And when he received this fearful vision from the Lord, he said the word was true, but it was a great conflict. And the vision revealed things so catastrophic that it propelled Daniel immediately into a 3-week fast. If the season that we are living in, ladies and gentlemen, does not propel us as believers and as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ into a time of fasting and intercession, I think we've missed the purpose of the whole season. If this, what we're facing right now, does not thrust us into a strong desire to fast and intercede like we never have before, then we never really caught the impact of what this situation has presented. And Daniel said, I ate no delicacies, no meat, no wine entered my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all for the full 3 weeks. It, whatever he saw, and I'm going to read it in a moment, what he saw, it propelled him into this incredible fasting session or season of 3 weeks. Now, we know Daniel was fearless, a man of faith, because just earlier in his life, he was the one that was thrown into a den of lions after refusing to bow to the idolatrous king. So fast forward a few years, this situation seems to have affected him far more than a den full of lions, because this thing that he saw, this vision, caused him to tremble. And it so impacted his spirit that he immediately goes into a fast. Many of us who follow Jesus think we're not allowed to feel emotions like fear. Sometimes we feel like, and the devil sometimes even tries to beat us over the head and say, hey, you're a child of God. You shouldn't be feeling this. You shouldn't be feeling that. But personally, when I see difficult times coming like the season we're in, I cannot stop my concern. But I don't have to be dictated to by fear. I'm going to say it again. I cannot stop my concern, but I don't have to be given over to being bound by fear. The Lord understands this and reassures us with the Holy Spirit. A dear evangelist friend of mine that lives in another state nearby reached out to him the other day, and I said, "Brother, I have you on my heart today. I know we haven't spoken in months, but are you okay, your wife and your family?" He texted back. It was just a text to his personal, to his cell phone. And he said, "Brother Mark, it's crazy that you would reach out to me today. Thank you for thinking of me, because we were just sitting here praying, my wife and I, should we try to stay on the evangelistic field?" Now, these are fantastic, excellent evangelists who've been out there for years and years like myself. But he said, "We've been shut down for 6 months with nowhere to go. It just hasn't lifted where we are, the place where they live and the state they're in. It's more, even more difficult than Oklahoma." And then I began to pray with him. He said, "You know, should I pastor like we did years ago? What should I do? I must take care of my family. And I'm trusting the Lord, because I just see no light at the end of the tunnel for this ministry." Boy, my heart broke, because I know of the excellence of their ministry and who they are as people, their integrity. And my heart just broke. And then as I stopped our text after calling him and then praying with him and a few other thoughts we shared, I just sat back and I began to think, you know, thank God for the provision of the Lord. Thank the Lord for Oklahoma. And I was getting ready to be with you the next Sunday, and I just said, "Thank you, Lord, for Steve and Carol Lance. The friends that you've given me, the churches you've given me the last 31 years that we've been on the evangelistic field has just put us over the top, even in difficult, difficult storms and pandemics. But not everybody has the same situation, but everybody has the same God. The God that's faithful to me will be the God that's faithful to him. And something's going to give and something's going to happen." So people are facing different things. And God's presence in us transcends any fear brought on by a trial like the coronavirus. 3 weeks after Daniel received his revelation, God gave him a holy visitation. And I believe that if we'll stay close to the Lord, he's going to send a holy visitation. We call it a revival. There's things happening that haven't happened in our nation in a long time. There's groups of young people preaching the gospel on the streets fearlessly. There's stuff going on. The church has had to awaken out of its slumber and out of its unconcern or its apathy for the lost, because this has catapulted us into a season. You either wake up and move forward with what God's trying to do, or you'll get left behind in the things that are happening through the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen to this in chapter 10, verses 5 and 6. Here's the appearance that overwhelmed the prophet. He said, "I lifted up my eyes, and behold, a man clothed in linen with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of a multitude." And this brilliant visitation overpowered Daniel, because in verse 8 he said, "I saw this great vision, but when I saw it, there was no strength left in me. My radiant appearance was fearfully changed, and I retained no strength." The man showed Daniel the eternal reality of the moment. And in verses 11 and 12, just stay with me, and I'm going to move on quickly from this text. When he had spoken this word to me, Daniel said, "I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, 'Fear not.'" Oh, I love this. "Fear not, Daniel, from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God," listen to this, "your words have been heard." And listen to what the man said to him that appeared to him in the vision. "And I have come because of your words." This spoke volumes to me. The man appearing to Daniel in the vision said, "The reason I'm here is because you prayed." In other words, had you not prayed, God would not have sent me to give you the vision. Isn't it something that right now, if the church prays, God will hear our words? if revival falls upon America and something happens that we can't even explain or fathom, spiritually speaking, which I believe we are in the beginning stages of, it will be because we have humbled ourselves and prayed and interceded, and God will send us messengers. He will send forth the angels of heaven. He will send forth a mighty sweeping revival to touch the shores of our nation like the waters cover the sea. But He'll only do it if we speak words of intercession. This was so powerful to me. This man said, I came because of your words, because you prayed and you interceded and you've been fasting. I've been sent to you, and here's the vision I've been given for you. What a profound lesson, because Daniel had been praying for 3 weeks, and this man revealed to him, you were heard in heaven the first day you spoke. Even though I'm here 3 weeks later, day one, as soon as you began to intercede, we heard you. I love this. We heard you. And God was already moving things in heaven, and He was already moving things on the earth. And changes were afoot because of Daniel's faithful prayers. And God's word, ladies and gentlemen, remains the same in times of worldwide crisis as in times of peace. And the Bible has not changed because of COVID-19 or political or economic problems. No, and Jesus has not changed either. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, according to Hebrews 13 and 8. Christ is still on the throne. He is still seated at the right hand of God. He is omnipotent over everything that is happening. And this assures us that the Lord's plans for us have never changed, even amidst the crisis. Hasn't changed. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Jeremiah 29:11. And when viruses, violence, and sobering troubles hit, Jesus did not run to check His news feed. He didn't wring His hands in heaven and say, oh, I didn't know that was coming. I better go see what's going on. He knew what was happening. He foresaw it before it ever took place. He didn't say, well, I had specific plans for my people, and I just didn't know COVID was going to shut me down like this, so I'm going to have to go come up with a plan B. Oh, come on now. God knew all along what His plans were for you and me during this time. Their plans not for disaster, but for our good, for our benefit, even in the hard times. Now, none of us knows exactly what the plans of God are for us. We rarely ever do. But notice the verse says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. So if we can trust that He knows us better than we know ourselves, we can trust Him when we need the welfare and our good to be met out, and He will do it. We are not merely meant to survive, but no matter what the situation, God's people and His church are positioned to thrive if we will but heed to His word. He said He's come that we might have life and life more abundant. He didn't say only if that's a COVID-free environment. His eternal promises do not change, even in a pandemic. So I don't fear anything that is happening in the world today. I'm not afraid in the least. I flipped the pillow on the cold side about 2:48 this morning and made it right on through. It was a blessed night of rest. Peace that passes all understanding guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. No, I'm not fearful concerning the things that are happening, yet I have had to determine if I must face difficulty or suffering, it's going to be this way. I choose how I'm going to deal with it. Come on, somebody. I'm going to have joy in my heart, courage in my soul, fight in my mind, and the authority that Jesus has given to me to my very last breath. Satan will not win. No matter what happens to us, we still belong to Jesus Christ. Satan will not win. They had a show about him years ago called The Biggest Loser. You thought it was people losing weight, but it's really about the enemy. Based on these passages, I've given myself 3 reminders that I believe can help any Christian through this time, and I want to share them with you. First, don't just survive. Don't just have a mentality of, yeah, Brother Mark, I'm just kind of hanging on. just kind of holding out to the end. You sound like someone who lives on Gripe Street next to Grumble Alley down off of Sorry Boulevard. Why would anyone want our gospel if it doesn't work for us? I say, why would anyone want our gospel if we can't even make it work for us? How could we share it with others who don't know Jesus? You still may be anxious about leaving the house. This season, however, doesn't have to be one of hibernation aimed at survival alone. It's an opportunity to thrive. Because some Christians, they can trust God to keep them safe at the doctor's appointment at Lowe's or Walmart, but can't seem to trust God for an hour service at the church. You can thrive through intercession. Pray for your spouse. Pray for your family. Take this opportunity to seek God for your friends and your fellow Christians and neighbors. Continue praying for frontline workers to stay safe and leaders to act wisely. Pray for your nation. Pray for those in authority. Pray for peace to rule your city and for people's fears and frustrations and anger to melt away, because this is a work that only the Holy Spirit can accomplish, and it's only accomplished through people who choose to pray. Glory to God. Another way to thrive is to renew your study of God's Word. Spending even a minimum time in God's Word will shift your daily thoughts from fear to faith. If you only feed yourself what the world is feeding us, then you will get a skewed view. You'll get a worldview, but here's the danger. You won't get a biblical worldview. I can turn on numerous outlets and media sources and get all kinds of information, and it's a worldview for sure. But I immediately turn it off after a very short time, and I get into the Word of God, and I get myself a biblical worldview of how God is viewing. Read the book of Daniel and see how the prophecies are lining up. You won't be discouraged. You'll actually be encouraged if you will choose to spend time in His Word and shift your thoughts from fear to faith. Secondly, don't just endure difficult experiences, enhance them. Don't just endure, but enhance them. Our passion for Jesus can increase during this time, both in devotion to Him and care for our neighbors, and especially the vulnerable, the needy, the marginalized. I made a decision several months ago when this started. I'm going to come out of this thing better, smiling more, more joyful, a fresh peace on me. But believe me, it wouldn't have happened had I not chose that path. Because the natural thing was fear, anxiety, what ifs, how are we going to make it, what are we going to do? And all those thoughts just begin to flood you. And if you watch just 5 minutes of news, you're doomed. But I made a choice. I'm not going to just endure this season. I'm going to enhance it. And God will bless you and speak to you and reveal Himself to you and do more for you during that moment with Him than you could ever come up with and a plan for trying to help yourself. Thirdly, don't just wait out changes. Pray in changes. Don't just wait out changes. Pray in changes. I was reading about the religion of Buddhism, and it encourages passivity. Simply to accept things as they are, it's just not going to change. But that's not the Christian faith. Help me, somebody. We are called to see things transformed by Christ Jesus, to pray in change and to act in faith when we see change. We can pray for miracles of healing for our loved ones. We can pray for our land to be healed of poverty and injustice, and for our own hearts to turn continually to Jesus. I was with a common friend of ours in Bartlesville a couple of weeks ago, and we had the two services, Pastor Steve. I believe it was 9:30 and 11. So we went from 9:30 to 10:30. And then at 10:30, the pastor, his staff ushered us back to the office area, waiting, a green room, whatever, before the second service was to start. Well, having lived in that town as a little boy, between one town and another there, not too far away, some of the people that I had known all my life knew that if they didn't get back to that area, they probably wouldn't get to see me, because everything's moving so quickly with the two services. So I hear somebody knock on the pastor's door, and the pastor says, "Oh, Mark, it's some of your friends." And so here came these couples, some younger, some up in years. And they came in, and oh, we embraced and we hugged these people, influential in my life to this day. Helpers, supporters, pray for you, love you, concerned about you. And they go back with me 59 years. And so we're standing out there in the open foyer in the office area of that church. And the wife of one of the gentlemen says, this was on a Sunday, she said, on Thursday, he goes in for an MRI and they suspect terminal stage 4 cancer. And his eyes welled up with tears when I looked at him, and she just said, "Would you pray?" We're not in church. We're in between services. We had prayed in the service, but now we're back in the office. And I said, "Well, let's just pray again." And somebody handed me some anointing oil, and we prayed right there outside of the pastor's office. And I just got word yesterday that the MRI was taken. The pictures were taken Thursday, and they couldn't find anything at all. Now they're thinking he might have a little bit of rheumatoid arthritis. I'm thinking we can handle Arthur far better than we could handle stage 4 cancer. That was all eliminated. And he's on a path of healing and encouraged. We need to be praying for one another with passion and in faith, believing. So we pray for that one. Then I turn and here's a friend of mine that's our same age also. I grew up with this girl, went to youth camp together. There's her big old strong husband and her kids. And he had a similar situation where they suspected a very large brain tumor. He was going in that week also. They were very concerned. I reached out to them. His name is Bill. And I said, "Bill, how are you? Did you go to the doctor as planned after I left?" They came back and said, "The church office didn't call you?" I said, "I haven't heard a word." They did all the tests, took all the pictures. They said, they can't tell there's ever been a tumor there. It's completely gone. He said, as soon as we left the service that Sunday, he said, the pressure that I'd been under in my head, the pressure and the pain, he said, left Sunday and then was revealed in the test later in the week. I'm thinking, this is what we should be doing right now. We should be reaching out to one another and praying for one another, laying hands on one another, praying a prayer of faith, and expecting things to turn and to shift when we pray. Remember, the person that God sent to bring Daniel the vision said, "I am here because of your words." Boy, that's speaking to me. Don't just wait out changes. Pray in changes. Pray for miracles of healing, for our land to be healed and things to shift. Today's problems, multiplying and intensifying as they are, have already had an impact and will for some time to come. In fact, what we have gone through as a nation and as a people may have a permanent imprint some way on our life. Won't change the fact that God's word hasn't changed. It can have a permanent impact in our culture or even in our life, but that doesn't change the fact that he's still on the throne and he's still the King of Kings and he's still the Lord of all lords, and he is the Lord and he does not change. See, you have to tell yourself, I am not the victim. I'm the victor. I'm not the one who's going to be overcome in this season. I am the overcomer. For the greater one lives on the inside of me. So when we're sitting around a lunch or a dinner table, or if you're like my family, we just graze all day Thursday. It starts early and ends late. It's just a grazing day of thanksgiving, loving one another. Can't wait to have my son and my daughter in my arms. Yes, I'm going to kiss their face, as embarrassed as it may cause them. I'm going to put my grandbabies on my lap and I'm going to love them and kiss them and thank the Lord for them and tell them how much I love them. I'm not going to hold back one thing. Why? Because I've got so much to be thankful for. Right in the middle of a pandemic and all that's going on, what a day to be alive. What a day to be able to serve the living God. What a day to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Remember that old song we used to sing? I think we used to do that in C, as I recall. Joy unspeakable. And this is a season where we need to have that attitude of gratitude and understand that because Daniel made the choice, he saw a vision. It was very catastrophic, and he could have just had the attitude, wow, okay, Lord, just do something about that. I've got things to do, people to see. I'm busy right now. He saw something, and when he saw it, it caused him to turn to God in a way that he didn't even in the experience of the den of lions. I can't even fathom that. But it so changed his outlook, he went into an immediate 3-week fast. So here we are, as Americans, we see what's happening. It's very clear. We're not in the dark at all. We know what's going on. We see how the enemy is moving, trying to strip us of democracy and freedoms and things that we hold dear, that our very nation was founded upon, the Judeo-Christian values. And when we see it all under attack, we should feel like Daniel. It's devastating, Lord, what we see, but it's going to drive me to a place of intercession. And I'm not going to just sit here and wait for things to change. I'm going to pray in the changes and believe you to turn it around and shift us from fear to strong faith in Jesus. Father, we love you this morning, and we thank you for your word. And Lord, we are assured today that your word is true. You said, let every man be a liar, but let the word of God be true. So Lord, in the midst of all that is happening around us, help us to be like Daniel, that once he is given a vision, once he sees what's happening and sees the eternal purpose, help us to immediately turn our fear into faith, our worry into words of intercession, so that we will see a shift in the atmosphere and we will see things turn, not just hoping that things kind of pass by, not just sitting back with an attitude that we'll just kind of hunker down and try to survive. I pray our mentality would not be that, but it would be, we're not going to just survive, but by God's grace and the empowerment of the Holy Ghost, we are going to move forward, and we're going to thrive in this time that you've given us to make some changes, to do some things differently, to draw closer to you, Lord. I pray we'll take advantage of the opportunity, because we may not get this opportunity again. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Every head is bowed just for a moment. I want to ask one question before we pray, then I'll turn this service back to Pastor in just a moment. Is there anybody in the service that can just say, Mark, my heart is just not right with the Lord right now. I'm just not where I need to be in my relationship with Jesus. But I want to be. I don't want to go another moment, another day, kind of out here on my own trying to survive. But with the power of Jesus Christ within you, as your Lord and your Savior, you will have the strength, the help, the hope to thrive in this season and not just merely survive. But I know my heart's not where it should be, and I want you to pray for me in your closing prayer. By lifting your hand, that's what you're saying, and I will remember you when we pray. Would you just let me see it quickly? Thank you, guys. I see your hands. I see you three. You can put them down. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. I see you. I just want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to have you do anything or say anything in particular, but I do want to pray for you. It's so important. Anybody else that would join these four who've already just slipped up their hand, I want things to be right with the Lord. I want my relationship to be right, to be where it should be. Is there anyone else? Last time, just looking quickly, one more time. Those of you that lifted your hands, thank you. I'm glad I waited a little longer. Thank you so much. There's five. I want those of you that lifted your hand plus the whole congregation to help. And I want you to repeat this prayer after me right now. Would you please? Let's all repeat it together. helping those five that just responded that they need the Lord's help and strength in their life and in their heart. Repeat this with me. Heavenly Father, I come in Jesus' name. I ask you, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. I confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. I believe in my heart, God raised Jesus from the dead, and he is alive, and he lives in me as my Savior and my Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Praise God. Let's just lift our hands, everybody, across the audience. Come on, young and old alike. Let's just lift our hands and thank the Lord for salvation. Would you just thank him for saving you, for forgiving you of your sins? Would you just take a moment and express in your own words the way he has sustained you through difficulty, through crisis, through pandemic, through uncertainty, how he has been so faithful to you and to your family? Hallelujah. When you didn't know how you were going to make it, he made a way for you. He's always making a way where there seems to be no way. That's his specialty. That's where my hope and my confidence is today for the rest of this year, that God will just sustain his people in a miraculous way, and that the angels of the Lord would be dispatched from heaven because they're sent because of our words. Hallelujah. Our words of intercession, our words of faith, our words of trust being placed in you. Lord, we give you praise. Thank you so much for loving us and saving us, washing us and cleansing us from all iniquity and all sin. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.
Thank you, Brother Mark. What a powerful message this morning. As we move forward through this time in which we're living, how about you? Do you want to thrive? Amen. I want to thrive. Thank you for that message this morning. We want to receive an offering this morning for Mark Perkey Ministries and the traveling and the ministering that he does around the world and here in the U.S. So if our ushers would come, you can give this morning. Make out a check if that's what you're doing, or if you're online, you can do that online as well. Just put on their Perky, but make the check out to Noble Assembly of God. Put on your offering envelope. It's really important that we use offering envelopes and not just give the check in, because it helps us. That's what we post to your records that we keep here in the church. So be sure you fill out an envelope with your name written on it, and then put on the amount and put Perky, and it will go completely to him. Father God, thank you, Lord, for the message this morning and for the messenger. We pray for him and Susie and their family, and we pray for Susie's mom on hospice. Just touch her. And Lord, we just pray that you would bless both the gift and the giver today in this offering as we give, because we know that we have a responsibility to send those who go and preach the gospel around the world. So we thank you for their ministry, and we thank you for allowing us this opportunity to sow into this ministry. So bless today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Tim. It's good to have Pam Newell here this morning. Pam, I just saw you, Larry and Pam. It's been a while since Pam's been able to be here. Give Pam a hand for being here this morning. Amen. Bless you, Pam. Praise God. Praise God. It's glad to have Sharon Graham here, too. It's been a little while since she's been able to be here. Amen. Bless you, Sharon. It's good to have all of you here today. I'm starting to name names. I'm going to get in trouble, right? Amen. Shouldn't do that, but I just know I hadn't seen them in a while. So praise God. So glad all of you. You know, I just love being in church, don't you? I can't imagine going through life and not being in church on a Sunday morning and singing and worshiping the Lord and praying together. I just love it. Amen. Do you just love it? Amen. Praise God. Thank the Lord for the opportunity we have to be in His house and to hear great preaching. I know you have to put up with just semi-good preaching most of the time, but every now and then you get a real treat and have a real preacher. So I'm not talking about Pastor Phil. I'm talking about myself. So, y'all immediately thought of Pastor Phil, didn't you? But no, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. We love what we do, and we love all of you. So let's stand this morning. Father, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be here in your house. And thank you, Lord, for a good Sunday. And help us to go forward in faith and thrive and believe you for the impossible to be made possible. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you this morning.